Hello Mzanzi, you are listening to Farmers Inside Track, proudly brought to you by Food for Mzanzi. Officially, this is the world's best podcast for 2024, as awarded by One IFRA, the global organization for the world's press. I'm your host, Duncan Masua, and welcome to episode 466, powered by CropLife South Africa. Now, South African farmers must comply with the Hazardous Substances Act of 1973 when using pesticides. In this article, we explore the details of Crop 1 Category A and Group 1 Category B hazardous substances, focusing specifically on agricultural remedies and how they are regulated under Act No. 15 of 1973. Hiresh Ramanand, Stewardship Specialist at CropLife South Africa, and Quade Singh Jam, Compliance Specialist at CropLife South Africa, provide clarity on the practical implications of this legislation for farmers. Good gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us once again.
Thank you, Duncan, and always a pleasure being here. Thank you for granting us the opportunity.
Thank you, Duncan. Great to be here, as always.
Fantastic. Hiresh, you know, let's kick off the conversation. We're talking about the Hazardous Substances Act of 1973, Act No. 15 more specifically, of 1973. In simple terms, Hiresh, tell us how farmers would know if they are purchasing, storing and using Group 1A hazardous substances according to this act.
To answer in simple terms, a Group 1A hazardous substance according to the Act is not applicable to farmers since they do not use technical grade aluminium phosphide, antimony, potassium, sodium tartrate, or zinc phosphide to formulate the end products. Therefore, Group 1 Category A hazardous substances are only applicable to manufacturers and formulators involved with technical grade material I've just highlighted. It is also important to note that technical grade material is not registered under the Fertilizers, Farm Feeds, Agricultural Remedies and Stock Remedies Act, Act No. 36 of 1947. Only the formulated end products are. So overall, it is only formulated registered pesticide products that meet the criteria of Group 1, Category B, according to the Hazardous Substances Act, Act No. 15 of 1973, that are applicable to farmers.
Thank you, Hiresh. Quade, I want to bring you into the fold. Following on from Hiresh, explain to our listeners how farmers would know if they are purchasing, storing, and using Group 1B pesticide products according to this act.
Now, very importantly, Duncan, and given what Hiresh just said, Group 1 pesticide products according to the Hazardous Substances Act 15 of 1973 are formulated in end products which are registered under the Act 36 of 1947 containing technical grade aluminium phosphide, antimony, potassium and sodium tartrate or zinc phosphide. In addition, this is also applicable to all active ingredients with a 6.1 toxic class according to the UN number and falling into the WHO Group 1 classification that are suitably registered under Act 36 of 1947. As you yourself will agree, this is very complicated. In simple terms, farmers and the relevant environmental health and safety inspectors from the Department of Health have identified for a while now a Group 1B pesticide product based on a red color band, which is accurate based on the definition of the Group 1 Category B as the substance according to this act.
Thank you, Quade. Hiresh, bear with me. I'm going to throw a spanner in the works based on Quade's answer and ask what may not be a straightforward question, although it may sound like it. Given that the new GHS format labels have no color bands, what do farmers and inspectors look for now to identify a Group 1B pesticide product?
At present, this remains a key question, Duncan, not only at the farming level, but also at the commercial trade level. As CropLife South Africa, we are cognizant of the fact that the Act in its current form is technically challenging. During inspection, farmers will know that inspectors have been looking for red label products, which constitutes a Group 1 Category B product according to their methods, and this is correct as Quade already explained. However, with the new GHS format labels, there are no color bands. So what exactly are inspectors going to look for Neither can the GHS pictographs be solely relied upon for this purpose. This is currently causing immense confusion where clarity is required to ensure consistency among inspectors during inspections. Further, this information will also be important for auditors to maintain consistency and accuracy during audits. Giving the advice to double lock, as is commonly referred to on the ground, all products with the signal word danger is not practical or accurate. There are space concerns, particularly at the farm level within storage facilities, and more importantly, a product may be flagged as danger based on other hazards and not acute toxicity per se. Therefore, at present, all red label products that were being kept behind lock and key by farmers must still be kept behind lock and key, regardless of whether those products now come with the GHS label. This is also the current advisory emanating from the responsible office within the National Department of Health. This, while not ideal, is the best advice that can be offered at present. With that said, we are now engaging with the relevant office within the National Department of Health. Both sides are in agreement that an interim list will need to be relied upon for the identification of Group 1 Category B products, given that the GHS pictograms will not accurately indicate such. Currently, we are working on an interim list with the relevant office in the National Department of Health, and overall, we agree that only by working together we can achieve common objectives to ensure accuracy, consistency, and compliance on the ground. With that, then, we are actively communicating with the relevant state departments to ensure alignment with regulations between different acts, which will make the process of identification a lot easier going forward. We will continue to provide updates accordingly in this regard.
Oresh, you used the term double lock in your previous response. Could you expand on the relevance of this in terms of the Hazardous Substances Act?
For farmers, the important requirement according to the Hazardous Substances Act has been the double locking of Group 1 Category B pesticide products. This is also important to auditors and certification agencies such as Global Gap for Exports, as I briefly touched on earlier. Now, what exactly is meant by double locking? Well, in simple English, farmers are required to store such products behind lock and key. Let me explain further. What this means is that Group 1 Category B products may be stored in a separate ventilated lockable room in the pesticide store, where a separate facility from the main building is not required. Where a separate room is not available, an area of the store where such pesticides are kept can be separated with a sealed-off dry wall that has a lockable door. Another option for a farmer is to erect a lockable mesh cage or similar structure around the area where such products are kept. Important to note that whichever option is decided on will depend on the specifications of the pesticide store, and not forgetting budget. But the key point for farmers to remember here is that whatever option may be decided on, all Group 1 Category B pesticide products must be kept behind lock and key within the pesticide store.
Wade, for my next question on this subject, I see references to a Section 4 license for Group 1B products and the maintenance of a poison register in the Act. Is this of any relevance to farmers?
A Section 4 license is only required for those at the commercial trade level who sell Group 1B pesticide products to the farmers. So this includes registration holders, the distributors, agents/crop advisors, and retailers. Farmers do not require any license to purchase a Group 1 product, but as Resh covered, farmers are still required to have Group 1 pesticide product stored behind lock and key within their pesticide store, which needs to conform to the SANS codes 10206. The poison register is a very good question for me. And this is only applicable, again, to the commercial sales level, or simply put, anyone trading or selling Group 1B products needs to keep a poison register as per the requirements of the Act. While farmers are not required by the Act to maintain a poison register Group 1B pesticides, they are still required to maintain a stock register and make available the safety data sheets for all pesticides stored according to the Occupational Health and Safety Act. I therefore plead to all farmers to ensure stock records are maintained and kept updated. This for me is also good business practice because farms these days run no differently to any businesses. Now, why am I stressing this point? Well, because should there be a break-in or burglary on farms and Group 1 pesticides are stolen, this can immediately be reported to the South African Police Services for investigation. It is no secret, based on reports emanating from the Griffin Poison Center, that pesticides stolen from farms are generally used for nefarious deeds by crime syndicates, such as poisoning carnivores and dogs when it comes to home break-ins. Therefore, we appeal to farmers that where Group 1 B pesticides go missing or are stolen, that this are reported immediately to the necessary authorities.
Thank you, Quaid. Finally, Hiresh, for my last question on the subject, what is your advice to farmers using Group 1 B pesticides to manage pests on their crops?
The advice from CropLife South Africa is simple but clear, Duncan. Where Group 1 Category B pesticide products are utilized by farmers, they must ensure that such products are purchased only from licensed reputable dealers. The products are stored behind lock and key within the pesticide store. A stock register and the safety data sheets are available. And finally, but very important, ensure all Group 1 Category B pesticide products are used responsibly, meaning applied strictly according to label instructions without any deviation whatsoever. And this includes using the necessary personal protective equipment, PPE. To remind farmers, and as you will know, given my talks at Food Forum Zanzi events, the label of any pesticide product is a legal document under Act No. 36 of 1947, and any use contrary to the label is deemed unlawful. Finally, let me end off my answer here by saying that CropLife South Africa encourages farmers to always handle pesticides responsibly, not just because it is a legal obligation, but because it is the right thing to do as proud South African citizens.
That was, of course, Hiresh Ramanand, Stewardship Specialist at CropLife South Africa, joined by Quaid Singh Jam, Compliance Specialist at CropLife South Africa. You can, of course, read more on this topic by visiting www.foodformzanzi.co.za. And that's a wrap. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. From me, Duncan Masiwa, our technical producer, Megan van der Vind, and the rest of hashtag Team Food from Zanzi, thanks for listening.